Penumbra's openings are always really joyful, you know, kind of like a family reunion in some ways. And then there's always this magic moment when the lights start to dim and the audience kind of waits with bated breath, and then the lights come up and the actors are there. And I have seen, I don't even know how many plays in my life, and still that first moment always gets me so excited. It feels truly magical to see a world born on stage in front of your eyes.
From Spotify, this is The Window. I'm your host, Xavier Jernigan. Sarah Bellamy is the artistic director of the Penumbra Theater Company in St. Paul, Minnesota, one of the oldest and most distinguished African-American theater companies in the nation. And lately, with protests happening across Minneapolis and St. Paul, and their theater closed due to the pandemic, she's been thinking a lot about the kind of art that's destined to come out of this moment. That sort of thinking runs in the family. Sarah's father, Lou Bellamy, founded the Penumbra Theater Company in 1976. It was born out of an artistic movement known as the Black Arts Movement, which itself was born out of the civil rights era of the 1960s and 70s. Black artists protesting and resisting through the creation of a new kind of literature, music, theater, and poetry. Legendary artists like Amiri Baraka, John Coltrane, Audre Lorde, Maya Angelou, and August Wilson. That last artist, the Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright August Wilson, he actually got his start at the Penumbra Theater. For over 40 years, Penumbra has carried out its mission to be a space, a haven really, for the creation of drama by, for, and about Black people. It's work that continues today under Sarah's leadership, and that's gained a new sense of urgency, especially in the Twin Cities, since the murder of George Floyd. Sarah Bellamy answered our questions from her home in St. Paul, Minnesota.
So what's it like in my neighborhood? This is a really interesting neighborhood that I live in, and Penumbra is two blocks from where I live. This is an historically Black neighborhood. It's called Rondo. And then an interstate was built right through the heart of it. And this happened in a lot of places all over the country. Homes were destroyed, like 300 homes. Black businesses were destroyed. And so there's this really big scar here. But people have rebuilt and stayed. And so there is that element. And it's gentrifying pretty rapidly. That tension is really evident right now, that gentrified tension. And I think for folks that have moved in new and don't understand, I think Penumbra can play a powerful role in helping them understand, like, this is the ground on which you're standing. Penumbra Theater was started in 1976 by my father, Lou Bellamy, and a group of actors and directors and playwrights who wanted to see a fuller, more three-dimensional depiction of Black life on stage. This was a time when artists were really thinking about how to forward the goodwill of the civil rights movement, but get more action-oriented, I think. It was the sort of aesthetic twin to the Black Power movement. There's a tenacity and a drive and a teeth behind the Black Arts Movement that I think is one of the hallmarks of it. Penumbra has been closed to the public since COVID broke. I've gone back to the building twice, and it was eerily quiet. There are certainly times when the space is dormant, but never for this long. Entering into the building inside which Penumbra is located feels like coming into a community center. There are art installations that commemorate the work that we've produced over many years. On one of the walls is a beautiful, originally commissioned quilt that was created for our production of August Wilson's Gem of the Ocean. And it is a map home for spirits who were stolen during slavery. And it depicts the Middle Passage. And then as you round the corner, you come to the theater space. And It is a very intimate house. We seat about 250 people. It's a proscenium thrust stage, so you get this really nice framed picture, but the actors feel very close to the audience when they're performing, and that's become a hallmark that our audiences really appreciate and expect from Penumbra, that proximity, that rawness. It's a beautiful, welcoming, open space that belongs to the community. It's also a place that's changing as we meet the needs of the world today. Minnesota is sitting at the crucible of so many disparities for Black Americans. And, you know, it gives me great pause to recognize that I think the video of George Floyd's murder is very much like the photograph of young Emmett Till in 1955. And I think about this being that moment for our generation. There's plenty to be done, even if we're not inviting audiences into the theater itself. Instead, we've really been turning our focus to the work of building the next life cycle for Penumbra Theater, which is focused entirely on racial healing and racial equity work. We need that so desperately here in Minnesota. Our racial equity training is powered by leveraging the art to help people kind of circumnavigate what happens in our heads when we begin to prepare for a conversation about race or racism. We use this model actually developed by Zora Neale Hurston. Her way of getting stories was to offer a story. She said, you give a story and you get a story in return. So we offer stories about early experiences with race and racism from a diverse crew of incredible artists. And it really cracks open this very intimate, empathic space. And then after that space is created, we start to layer in really the learning and the unlearning we have to do as Americans about what actually has happened in our history. In particular, when I'm working with young people and I train them in this sort of reading of society, I tell them, I'm going to show you the Matrix. And once you see it, you're not going to be able to unsee it. It's going to be everywhere. Like, you're going to see it in billboards and magazines and television. And then they come back to me and they say, Miss Sarah, you ruined Disney. And I go, well, that certainly wasn't my intention. But, you know, I'm glad you're being critical. I'm glad you're being a critical consumer of media. And I hope that as a young artist, you're going to start creating other things that will be more compassionate and more honest. For us, the way that we help people acknowledge the past is to use the power of theater. When I put up a play like The Ballad of Emmett Till, and we invite people into this witnessing, there is a ritualistic recalling of history, a reconstituting of it, that invites people into this space where they can say, I see it, I can't lie about it, I can't pretend it didn't happen, it's viscerally in front of me. And it changes how I'm going to look at everything else when I leave. The artists in my community are responding to the murder of George Floyd. Already, they are creating the theater of the future. I can guarantee you that it won't be about how many windows were broken, which buildings were burned. It will be about the fact that a Black man, unarmed, handcuffed, compliant, was murdered in broad daylight in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We will be brave enough to tell that story over and over again until people start to understand how we got there. And I think that truly is the power of art, truly is the power of witness. Theater is a powerful tool to invite people to bear witness and to hopefully give them a perspective that actually changes the way that they look at everything else. When we reopen, you know, after COVID and we have our first opening night, I think it's going to be so super awkward. It'll probably feel like some weird high school dance where everybody's like, hey, remember me? People will be happy to be back. There's going to be a lot of joy. I think people are really, really missing the theater, especially now. I think they want a gathering place. I think they want to sit in the power of art. They want to be moved. They want to be invited to laugh and to cry and to be held in that suspension of magic that is a play, you know, to hear one another breathing and laughing and being in that, I call it the living darkness. I really think it's sacred, and I miss it terribly, but I'm really looking forward to reconvening, even if it might be a little awkward at first.
Sarah Bellamy, from her home in St. Paul, Minnesota. So, that's it for this season of The Window. Thank you so much for going on this journey with us. From stories of life under quarantine to testimonials about Black life in America and the challenges this country faces. And thanks to all of our guests who kindly shared their time and their truth with us. Listeners, if you have ideas for future episodes of The Window or want to share your story, we'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line at thewindow@spotify.com. The Window is a production of Gimlet Projects for Spotify. This episode was produced by Rosie Guerin with help from Laura Morris and Carrie Ann Thomas. Editing by Andrea B. Scott and Renita Jablonski. Fact-checking by Andrew Helms. Mixing and sound design by Catherine Anderson. Music by Emma Munger and Catherine Anderson. Our theme music is by Emma Munger. The Window production team includes Caitlin Baguki, Abby Razika, and Jamesia Thomas. I'm your host, Xavier Jernigan. You can check me out on Instagram and Twitter at Xavier, J-E-R-N-I-G-A-N. Take care of yourselves and each other. Until next time, peace.